right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is here. You know, Sandy, I'm asking you all these questions because I remember the pain of 2008. The people who were just devastated. You lost quite a bit of the middle class, their homes in this country, and some never recovered. And now many of the people who don't even know this is coming, you know. And just again, going back to what you've been saying all the time about our country just not missing out and not having conversations with the people who don't even know this is coming.
Well, this, you know, like I said earlier, you know, you only get hit by the truck you don't see. And so, you know.
But they notice it's coming.
Well, this, we don't know how deep it is. You know, recessions come in all different forms. Some are very deep. Some are relatively painless. Some are painful. Some are just awful. The 2008 one was awful.
The interest rates weren't.
No, but it doesn't have to.
I mean, not the interest rates, the inflation.
Well, inflation isn't. I mean,
doesn't have any impact at all.
No. It's one form of the disease. But okay. Well, there's all kinds of economic diseases, and inflation is one of them. The collapse of a financial market is another one. That was 2008, and that had a very broad impact on the national and world economy. So, I wouldn't dare to predict whether, number one, this is going to be a devastatingly deep one. The deep ones are, like I said, the truck that you don't see. And so if you don't see it, you can't really talk about it in advance. But we have set the table for a situation in which it could be problematic. There are, for instance, home values. People who have bought homes in the last 2 years have paid materially higher prices, right, for those homes, or at least the last year, than the market was caring for those houses before. If the housing market goes way down in value as the result of a recession and returns to the values that were prevalent 4 years ago, a lot of those homeowners will be in trouble. They could be upside down and need to sell their homes. And one of the problems with the 2008 recession was the kind of irreversible effect it had on all these homeowners. I think 70% of the people of Americans who own assets, their primary asset is their home, and it's the primary source of their wealth. And when they lose that source of wealth, they become basically paycheck to paycheck parts of the economy. And I'm confident that what has happened in the 22 years of the century 2000 is that more and more people live paycheck to paycheck in this country, and those people are the ones who feel financially insecure. Those are the people who are socially insecure. That's a part of the social discord in our country, is the extent to which we have a large part of our population who feel financially insecure and endangered. And so, well, I think the problem I see from that standpoint is our next recession is likely to swell the ranks of the people who feel that way. And I don't know how much more we can swell the ranks of people who feel financially insecure and endangered before we get to a socio-political position that is very fragile.
You know, Sandy, some stuff with somebody the other day. He says, Earl, you're always talking about these negative things. And I said, well, you call them negative things when they're actually the things we should be talking about because of the pain that they're going. Because there's something that's going to be painful doesn't mean that you shouldn't be discussing it.
Well, you understand that there are hopeful things we could talk about that would be relating to the same subject. A hopeful thing would be if the government was talking about setting up the kind of social safety net that exists in Europe, because Europe can absorb recessions in a much, much more socially acceptable manner, creating much less social discord than we do because of the nature of what they've built to support their economy. You know, people in this country believe that a social safety net is socialism that is against and contrary to the notion of a free market economy. My view, and I think the Northern European view, is that a social safety net is the infrastructure you need to support a vibrant market economy.
I was having this conversation with the guy the other day, and he says, Earl, everybody's not hurting in this country. And I said, I get that. You know, I mean, I don't live in a cave. I know that there are people who are doing well. But, you know, and the masses of the people have not always, you know, well, I shouldn't say that. I lived at a time when the masses of the people in this country did live well, middle class.
Yeah,
in my lifetime, in your lifetime. And so I don't know if we can ever get back there.
But you remember that our parents, who were living well in a middle-class economy, had health care from their employer.
So yeah, they did.
They had health care. They had retirement plans.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. And so they were living with a safety net that looked an awful lot like the ones that existed in Europe. We also had a public school system that was working relatively well. So we had education that was going. Because they were living so well, most of the households had only one worker, and they had stay-at-home mothers. So child daycare wasn't the issue then that it is today. So the world has changed, and it's changed materially from what it is that the Trumpians want to go back to making America great again. We can't get that. We can't recreate that. You know, we can't recreate what we just described was the way we grew up, because none of the plans in place by any party would get us all the way back to something like single worker households with making middle class incomes with health care for all.
You know, Sandy, sometimes you forget, because I'm from a family of 13, and my dad worked, owned a home. My mother stayed home. 13 children.
Yeah.
And he was able to work and provide for 13 children.
Well, he was a busy, busy man.
Yes. And so for 13 children.
Yeah.
You just, today, that's inconceivable. That could never, ever happen. And so only through the grace of the time period did that happen.
Well, as I've discussed before, the irony of and the uniqueness of this time after World War II, when we were the only people making automobiles in the world, so our automobile workers, the UAW, and the people who were related to it, had wages that were essentially unlimited in terms of the height to which they were able to pay, because all the competitors were operating under the same agreements, and the people who were supplying equipment to the automobile manufacturers like A. O. Smith were unionized and had similar very attractive union agreements, and all of that is not possible today.
So when we come back from break, Sandy, I want you to, you know, just give us from your perspective. Clearly, you're not Nostradamus.
I'm not.
You know, a picture, a scenario of where the nation is really headed. Because if you don't have any of those things that you and I keep talking about, and I just go by what I see from the community where I live, It only gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And then you multiply that by other communities like it all over this nation. Man, I don't know. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.